If you have your Bibles, turn this morning to Matthew chapter 6. This will be the second message in a short series of messages about stress and anxiety and worry. And so last week we looked in Philippians chapter 4. You don't have to turn there. But last week we looked at Paul talking to the church at Philippi, and he was telling them some really important things. And he not only was telling them what not to do, because isn't it true we live our life and we're always told not to do something. Don't do that. Avoid this. Stay away from that. And we're very familiar with being told what not to do. But the beautiful thing about Paul from last week is that he doesn't just tell us what not to do. He tells us what to do. So he says, listen, guys, don't be anxious about the stuff that you've got going on in the world. But instead, with prayer and supplication, make your request be known to God. Do it with thanksgiving and seek the face of God. And that gorgeous and beautiful promise that Paul gave us last week, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So that was last week. And this week we're also looking on the topic of stress and anxiety and worry. But Paul's not teaching us today. Jesus himself is going to be teaching us. And this is from one of his famous sermons called, what we call, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is speaking to his disciples and others that have gathered there to listen. And in Matthew chapter 6, it's about right smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And he says something really important in verse 25. So we're going to read verses 25 through 34. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, then, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So let's pray together. Lord Jesus, first of all, I want to pray for every single believer that's here. I want to pray in the powerful and mighty name of Jesus that all of us who heard this story growing up would be able to cast off this veil of familiarity, this sense in which I've already heard this passage, I've already heard a million sermons on this, Lord. And I just pray that today, by the power of your Spirit, you would give them the ability to see this shocking passage with fresh eyes, and that they would be able to be blessed through the power of the scripture, even though it's a scripture that they've studied all their lives. And Lord, for my friends who are here and they have never studied this passage and they struggle with worrying about things and they struggle with anxiety and they struggle with stress, I pray that the accuracy and the power of this scripture would wash over their souls like they've never had it done before. Would you bless us, Lord, with the power of your scripture? And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So if you have your notes, you see, I really want to just do two things today. First of all, I want to share with you some really great reasons to reject the life of worry. Now, maybe all you need today are some good reasons to reject the life of worry, and then you would do that. Maybe today you just need somebody to point out in the scripture why it is that you need to kick worry to the curb. Maybe that's what you need today. Maybe you need to see the scripture just illuminate it for you and articulate it for you. And we're going to do that today. We're going to look at the scripture and we're going to discover two reasons to reject the life of worry. But we're also going to answer the how. Because if you've been here for any length of time, you know that I have a huge passion for us to understand what the scripture teaches. But I also have this huge passion for us to understand how to take the truth of scripture and to really live it in our lives. That's one of the things that I really love to do in ministry, is to point out what the Bible says and then help us to understand how to do what it is that the scripture is calling us to do. So we're going to have two great reasons to reject the life of worry, and we're going to have two key actions, things that we need to do to fight the life of worry. Then we're going to have some questions of application. So two great reasons to reject the life of worry. The first is found in verse 27. Here's the first reason: because it doesn't do anything good for you. A life of worry doesn't help you in any way at all. And I want you to look with me in verse 27, because I don't want you to just think that I'm making these things up. I want you to understand that Jesus himself asked this really powerful question in verse 27, and I want for us to see that. It says, "And which of you, by being anxious..." Remember last week we explained what the word anxious means? It's kind of like this picture of taking something and just ripping it right in half. Like if I were to take some of this paper and I was just to tear it in half, and you saw me take one side and move it to my right or your left and to this way, and you just saw it tear in half. That's kind of like the mental image of what it means to live an anxious life. But look what Jesus says. Which of you, by living this life, can add a single hour to your lifespan? Now, Jesus is a master teacher. You may not be a tremendous student of the Word of God. And if you're not, that's okay. There's still time. We have great Bible study class. We have great iConnect classes. And I would encourage you to take a step in being a student of the Word of God. And you may not, that may not be where you're at now, and that's totally okay. But I want to teach you something about Jesus. He was an absolute master teacher. And he could be out, he didn't have to be in the church. He could be out on these dusty roads. And people could be asking him questions, and sometimes they were for him, and so they were just sucking up everything that he was saying, and sometimes they were against him, and they were trying to trip him up. And he was a master teacher in all situations and with all groups. And he's a master teacher. One of the reasons is because he asks amazing questions. You ever met anybody like that before? Somebody that can just ask a question and can like pierce through everything and just like cut right down to the very heart of the matter. My mom could do that. She's here today. And she could come in the room with me and my brother and say, "What are you thinking?" And I'd sit there for like 5 minutes going, "What was I thinking? Oh, that's just it. I wasn't. Mom, that's what you're trying to get me to see, right? I'm not thinking. Or why did you do that?" Well, isn't that a question that we ask over and over? So there's these deep, penetrating questions. But the fact is, Jesus doesn't ask either one of those. He asks something really important about our life. How many of you, by worrying, can add a single moment to your life? None. It's what we call a rhetorical question. It's a question that as soon as he asks it, we're supposed to immediately know the answer. And so Jesus is saying to us, and not just the disciples in those days, but because God has been so good to us, and he's not only inspired the Word of God, but he's preserved it so that we have the Word of God. Even here and today in 2018, he's asking this question, not just to those disciples sitting up on the side of the mountain while he was teaching the Sermon on the Mount, but we have to struggle with that same question. Listen, if you're living a life of anxiety and worry, if you are just allowing yourself to worry, 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 here's Jesus's question. What good is it doing you? And so one of the great reasons to reject the life of anxiety or to reject the life of worry is because it does not bring life. Second great reason to reject the life of worry, I find that in verse 32. So look with me, if you would, over in verse 32. And I want you to notice what it says. "For the Gentiles seek after these things." Now, if you'll jump up just a couple of verses, Jesus is talking about how the Father is faithful. And then in verse 31, he says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? And then he says this statement, for Gentiles seek after those things. Now, again, you may not be just this deep student of Scripture. So I want to explain for you a little bit of what Jesus is saying when he uses that phrase. Gentiles seek after this. You may be here and you maybe have no idea what that's a reference to, but you can just infer that it's not good to be called a Gentile. You can just read into the voice of Jesus that it's not a good thing to be called a Gentile. Well, it's not, because when he says the Gentiles seek after these things, what he's saying is that people with no faith spend their time asking these questions. So when Jesus says that these are questions that the Gentiles chase after, what he's saying, and this is the reason to reject the life of worry, is that it is a mark of the unbeliever. Now, I made some comments today, this past week, and we were talking about whether or not, I was on Facebook Live, and we were talking about whether or not Jesus is talking about the regular, everyday worries of this life that we kind of get stressed out about, or he was talking about the clinical definition of anxiety, and we were talking about the reality that whether or not Jesus had in mind that clinical notion of anxiety, the reality exists, right? So you may be here saying, well, what if I have a bigger case of anxiety? What if my stress level is higher than everybody's else? Well, these two things are still true. It is still true that your worry, no matter how small or how gigantic it is, your worry is not going to add anything to your life. And it is also true that people who do not have faith run around asking, how am I going to fill my life with the things that I need? Because I don't have God in heaven to reach out to or to seek. That's the way that they think. And so maybe you're sitting here today wondering, is what Jesus talking about, is it applicable to where I'm at in my life? I would suggest yes. I would say to you today that whatever level of stress you live in, whatever level of worry that you struggle with, these are two great reasons to reject the life of worry. These are two great reasons to declare war on the anxious life. And maybe you're here today and you have that clinical notion, you have that clinical definition of anxiety. And I want to say to you, don't stop fighting and don't give up and wage war on your stress and your worry. I'm passionate about this, I guess, because I just believe in John chapter 10:10. When Jesus says, I am the way, that's John 14:6. In John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. And Jesus says, but I've come that you may have abundant life. And so I'm really passionate about this because my heart for you is to not just come here on Sundays and sing some awesome songs and do some awesome things for people and listen to me get up here and spit and sweat for 30 minutes. That's not what I want. Man, I want you to have a full life in Christ. I want you to know what it means to be close to God on Monday mornings. And so I'm telling you that if you have a more than usual struggle with stress and anxiety and worry, wage war on it. Call war on it. And we want to pray with you and we want to help you with resources. And listen, I've said this a couple of weeks ago. I want to say it again. If you need counseling, go get counseling. It is not something to be embarrassed of. If you need to seek professional help, we have God-fearing, Jesus-loving, Holy Spirit-filled professional counselors at Sagemont Church. And it would be an honor for me to help connect you to them if your stress or anxiety level is so high that it's hard for you to function. So there's two key actions to fight the life of worry. And I want to share these with you because I think they're important, especially because we find them in Scripture. Again, I don't want you to think that this is something that Zach just kind of dreamed up and jotted down and came up here to give you a pep talk. I want you to know that today we're looking at the Word of God and the principles and the actions that we have to employ if we're going to fight anxiety in a scriptural way. And so the first is found in verses 26 through 39, and it is the ability to identify God's faithfulness in everyday life. So I want to point to you in the scripture. I want you to see what he does. Because again, the point is that Jesus is a master teacher. And what he does here is pretty remarkable, because he's not in the church building. He's out there in everyday life, and he's doing this Sermon on the Mount. And then he just says, hey, everybody, look. Look at that bird. And he brings everybody's attention to that bird. And he says, isn't God faithful to that bird? Now, this is an old preacher trick, all right? But it works. If I ask you a question that I want the answer to be yes, and I start shaking my head, 85% of you are going to start shaking your head yes. Did you know that that's true? See, you're doing it. And so Jesus does, it's like, hey, look at this bird. Isn't God faithful to this bird? Well, yeah. Well, listen, if God, in all of his infinite wisdom and power, is faithful to this bird, what do you think he's going to be for you? That's what he says to them. And so what Jesus helps his disciples to do is to pick out God's faithfulness in everyday life. You see, because when we're struggling, right? And when we're filled up with stress and we're worried, we've got all this anxiety in us. We're not up here at Sagemont Church sitting in the auditorium. We're out in everyday life. So we have to find this discipline, this ability to focus in on things in everyday life and find God's faithfulness in it. And so he says in verse 26, he says, look at the birds of the air. They don't do any of this stuff, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. You see, he says, God is faithful to these birds. Are you not of more value than they? And then he goes on to talk about the grass and the lilies of the field. Look at them. Look at how they grow. They don't do anything. They don't toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Let me translate that for you. If God is faithful to birds, and God is faithful to grass, he will be faithful to you. He will take care of you. And I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that flippantly, because I know that some of you are here and you're struggling. You're struggling with finances. Maybe you're struggling with relationships. And you're hearing that almost as a challenge to find a way to trust God. And I understand that where we hear the scripture and where we apply it to our life can sometimes be where the rubber hits the road. But Jesus, the master teacher, points at these things and he says, look, if God is faithful to them, he's going to be faithful to you. So one key action to fight the life of worry is to learn to find the faithfulness of God out in everyday world. Because you're not going to come here every day to hear a message on anxiety. You're not going to come here every day to hear a message on worry. You may go online and you may listen to this one 700 times. And you may be able to repeat this one from memory. But at some point, you're going to be confronted with stress or worry or anxiety out there in the real world. And you need to learn to be able to find the faithfulness of God in the everyday life. So I'm going to give you a little challenge before I give you the second key. I want to challenge you that when you leave here today, the very first thing that you see when you walk out of those glass doors to exit, the very first thing that you see, I want you to think of it, and I want you to think of how God's faithfulness can be illustrated in the object that you see. So if you look up and see the clouds, I want you to find a way to illustrate God's faithfulness with the clouds. If you look at the cross, hello, right? If you can't do it with, well, I don't want to say that. Excuse me. I don't want to say that. But listen, whatever it is that you walk out and see, I want to challenge you to say, you know what? God's faithfulness is kind of like clouds. God's faith, and I just want you to start practicing looking out in everyday life and thinking about the faithfulness of God. And what I would like for you to do is email me your illustration, because that's like free sermon material for me. But I'm serious. I want you to flood my inbox because I want you to be thinking about finding God's faithfulness in everyday life. The second key to fighting the life of worry is focusing on seeking the kingdom of God right now. Now, this is the very famous verse among a lot of famous verses in verse 33, but Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Here's what Jesus is saying. You have a task. You have a holy, sacred calling. And that is to seek the kingdom of God above everything. When you wake up tomorrow morning and your feet hit that floor, your agenda is the kingdom of God. That's not just a calling for preachers. That's a calling for everybody who is under the banner and the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, one of the ways to fight this anxiety and stress and worry is to be about the business that God has allowed you to live for. You see, there's a reason that when we surrender our life to Jesus Christ, there's a reason when we come to faith in Jesus Christ that he doesn't just, boom, take us to heaven. It's because he wants us to spend our life seeking the kingdom of God and serving him. So you have to decide. Am I going to spend my time and my energy and my efforts on worry and stress? Or am I going to spend my time and my energy and my efforts on seeking the kingdom of God? I want you to notice in verse 33, if you have it there in front of you, look. I want you to notice that it says, but seek first the kingdom of God. You see, there's a priority given there. And Jesus isn't saying, look, when you've got nothing else to do, do a little praying. He's not saying on the Sundays that you've got nothing left to do, go to church. He's not saying when all of your hobbies are done and everything is fixed at your house, then start seeking God. He's not saying when your business is caught up, then start reading the scripture. Jesus says that the first thing that our priority is to do is to seek the kingdom of God. And so that's why I share with you this morning that this is one of the keys to fighting a life of worry. Because when we have that as our priority, and when we wake up and with great passion and with tremendous abandonment, we seek the kingdom of God, we don't have energy for other things. And so I want to encourage you today to make it your habit to do that. How? How do I do that? I want to share with you just within like the span of 2 minutes how it is that I'm going to explain to you that we can seek the kingdom of God. Because some of you may be here today and you may be saying, I love this, but I don't have the first foggiest idea on how in the world I'm supposed to seek the kingdom of God. I want to share with you 3 questions. If you ask and answer these questions in the here and now, right now, in the moment that you feel stressed or worried or filled with anxiety, if you will ask yourself one of these questions and actually answer it, you will be seeking the kingdom of God. The first question is, how can I right now exalt Jesus? What can I do at this very moment in time that would glorify my Father who is in heaven? What can I do in this moment? Not on Sunday when I get to church, not tonight when I get home, but right now. What can I do right now to exalt Jesus? Maybe it's sing. Maybe it's pray. Maybe it is just get on your knees and just be in the presence of God. You might say, well, that's a little strange to do at work. Well, you know what? Honestly, Christians are strange. We are. I don't mind saying I'm strange. I follow a Jesus that was nailed to a cross and resurrected out of a tomb. He lives inside of me. I have all the power of heaven. That's a little unique. And so listen, here's what I want to tell you. When you're asking, what can I do to seek the kingdom of God right now? Ask yourself this question. What can I do to exalt the Lord right now, right where I'm at? Second question, what can I do to grow my faith? You see, the first question is pointed at Christ. The second question is, what can I do for me and my faith to grow? Now, you may say, well, the answer for one is good for the second. Maybe so. I'm not saying these are totally divorced from one another. There's a lot of overlap. But if you are in a situation where your stress level is rising, where your anxiety level is rising, and you remember, I need to seek the kingdom of God, but how do I do that? Ask yourself, what can I do right now to grow my faith? What can I do at work? What can I do at home? What can I do at school? What can I do right now, sitting in this traffic, to grow my faith? The third question, and then we'll close for this morning. What can I do to bless the person near me? Listen, if you're stressed out and worried, not all of the time, I understand that, but a lot of the time, it is because we are focused on what's going on right here. And I have discovered that when I feel stressed out, if I just push away from the desk and I just go find somebody and just love them for a few minutes, my stress level goes down. My worry goes down. So how do I seek the kingdom of God first in my life? The question is, what can I do to exalt Jesus? What can I do to grow in my faith? What can I do to bless somebody that's near to me? Those are three questions that if you will answer them and then follow through, you will be seeking the kingdom of God. My prayer for you today is that you would be relentless, that you would have a holy stubbornness to fight against stress and worry and anxiety in your life. But if you need counseling, if you need professional help, let us help you. But all of us can take a couple of pointers from the Word of God. We can do these two things: identify God's faithfulness in everyday life and focus on seeking the kingdom of God right now.